We're listening back to some of our favorite conversations over the year. This one was with Ingrid Betancourt. Ingrid was a former presidential candidate in Colombia who spent 6 years imprisoned by Colombian FARC rebels. And here she is speaking in September to John Hockenberry about how she went from candidate to hostage.
The fact that I was a presidential candidate meant in the hands of the guerrillas that I was the enemy. So it was not only to be abducted, it was to be treated with all the cruelty and the, you know, the bitterness and the rancor that they had against what they thought I was representing, because I was a politician, so I was the most horrible human being that could exist.
When did you realize that you had sort of shed your notions of making your country a better place and were worrying almost constantly about whether you were going to even survive this?
I think it began like after I realized I was not going to get back home in the short term. At first, when they abducted me, I thought it was a question, a matter of 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then it lingered. And then I thought perhaps they're going to let me out when the presidential election is over. And they didn't. And then the day I realized I had been a year abducted, then I thought that my life was, that it was over. And I began to think not as a politician anymore, but as a human being. I understood that my priorities has just shifted in my mind, and I wanted to be, most than anything else, a mother again. I remember my father saying that family was the most important thing of all, and then I understood that he was right.
You know, Ingrid Betancourt, it even goes beyond that in describing your 6 years of captivity. At a certain point, you stop even just trying to save yourself, but you become this human body with the organs that you can feel are failing. There was a particular point where you felt as though your liver would burst. What was that moment?
It was 2 years after my abduction, and we were forced to march in an endless march, carrying very heavy backpacks because it was our belongings that we had to carry. And because of the stress, because of the food that was very bad and sometimes rotten, because of the physical effort that was demanded from us, I think that my body just, you know, had a reaction. And I had had liver problems before my abduction, but then there I was really into a crisis, and I couldn't walk anymore, and they had to carry me in hammocks.
And you feared for your life. At the moment that they took your backpack, they carried your backpack for you, and that meant that even they could see that you were dying.
Yes, and it meant also that they could, well, these are the petty things of the jungle, but I was very scared from them to carry my things because I knew they were going to steal everything I had. And I had very little, but my very little things meant a lot to me. For example, I had a dictionary. It was the only book I had. It was, of course, heavy, but I wanted to carry it. I had thrown away many things in order to be able to put that book in my backpack, and they just take it away from me. And for me, that was a very huge loss, because that book represented, the only entertainment I could have in the jungle.
You know, the title of this book, Even Silence Has an End, is an answer to a Neruda poem, For Everybody, where he talks about the end of silence, or could silence have an end. At any point during your captivity, were you having this conversation with Pablo Neruda in your mind, with a poet, with someone who might be your salvation in some sense?
I remember the need of just bringing to my memory words that I love and poems were for me like treasures that I wanted to bring back to me in order to just enjoy something. And the verses of Pablo Neruda were important to me because my father used to recite them when I was a child. And because I lost my father during abduction, reciting those poems brought me the voice of my father. So it was a double joy for me.
You knew Neruda?
Yes, I knew Neruda. As a young girl, I knew Neruda. He was a friend of my father, and he used to come home, and we used to call him Uncle Paulo. And I was a child, and I knew he was a poet. I didn't know how big he was, but, you know, he was a poet. So I would write little child poems, and I would say, I write poems too. And he would read my poems, and he would say, oh, you're my colleague. And that was the you know, the souvenir I have from Pablo. And then when I was growing up and I discovered the amazing poet he was, of course, I read all his poems, and he was, and he still is, and in the jungle when I was very ill and nearly to die, the words of Pablo brought me back.
What is your responsibility? Political candidate before, now you're free, now you have this book. What is your responsibility as a politician for the people of Colombia today?
Well, more than a politician, as a human being, I think that my responsibility is to give testimony of what I saw and I witnessed. You see, I think that the FARC is a very complex organization.
The FARC insurgency, the guerrillas who are on the ropes, it should be said.
Yes, exactly. They are on the ropes, and I think that if people understand how they work and who they are, it could help us, all of us in Colombia, to just build bridges for a reconciliation. I think also that I had to give testimony to people in the world to understand what freedom is and what not having freedom means to any of us. That was very important for me.
Well, it's a universal story, what it means not to have freedom. And you tell it so well. In Even Silence Has an End, 6 years of captivity in the Colombian jungle, the story of Ingrid Betancourt, who was freed how long ago?
2 years ago.
So you've been freed much less than you were actually in custody.
I'm still a newbie.
Newbie. Ingrid, thank you so much.
Thank you.